Lord, we ask, first of all, that you would not let us forget our brothers and sisters that live in countries where there's a cost to follow you. In fact, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would learn from our brothers and sisters. We would learn that persecution is not a curse, but it's a blessing, because it makes us stronger, and it also provides a means that we can share with others in a way that we would not be able to do otherwise. So, Lord, we pray with them today. We join Christians around the world asking, Lord, that you would strengthen our brothers and sisters, especially that are living in some of these Muslim-dominated countries, but also places like North Korea, and there's other places too, that in China. Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would give them courage, that you would give them wisdom. And Lord, that you would continue to fill their hearts with love for even those who persecute them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, listen. We 2 weeks ago, we talked about being called to the harvest and how we are to be workers in that harvest. And actually, there's two things we keep talking about: workers in the harvest and also praying. And those things really go hand in hand. Because to be an effective worker, we must know how to pray. Pray in a way that invites God to move in a supernatural way. And that's one reason we're spending so much time on prayer. But it's not just learning about prayer. Hopefully, we're beginning to do it, you know, begin to pray in a different way. And all workers in his harvest pretty soon learn that in themselves they can't do anything. We are relying on God moving and working and opening doors and opening hearts. There are, of course, conditions that we've talked about to mountain moving prayer. There's abiding in Christ, and there's also praying according to his will, according to his purposes. And that requires learning to hear his voice. And that's what we want to talk about today, or at least have an introduction, be a little bit shorter than usual. Hearing the voice of the Lord. It's necessary. It's essential. It's not an option if we really desire to be a worker in his kingdom. So the first thing we got to realize, that we must be fully convinced that God does indeed speak to us, and that he wants to speak to us, that it's his desire. I mean, there's many accounts in the scriptures of God speaking to men and women. Sometimes directly, sometimes in dreams and visions, sometimes through prophets, a lot of different ways. And we are exhorted over and over in the scriptures to hear the Lord, to listen to him. Just a couple of verses here. Isaiah 55. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for it does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. This is God speaking. And eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Three times it says, listen to me. Listen to me. John 10. 26 and 27, Jesus is talking, and he's actually talking to some people who are very skeptical. They're very condemning of him. And he says, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's a characteristic of a sheep. They hear God's voice. You know? So if you're hearing God's voice, and it's really God, then you are a sheep. John 16, verse 13. It says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Who's he speaking to? Us. And he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit's been given to us to teach us, to speak to us, to guide us, to disclose himself to us. Acts 13 is one example of where the New Testament church, now there were in Antioch in the church, there were prophets and teachers, and then it kind of mentions a whole bunch of people. And then in verse 2 it says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, he's speaking, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. The Holy Spirit speaks to us if we're listening. And why don't we not do the next one? I'm going to do that next week, I think. So God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us about himself. In other words, he wants to reveal truth to us. He wants to tell us who he is, his character, his heart, his burdens, his ways. He wants to talk to us about us, who we are in him as his child, how he loves us, how he wants to protect us and watch over us, how he's going to care for us. And he also wants to speak to us about maybe dark areas. You know, he's going to shine his light on. He says, listen, I want to transform you. I want to change you. And so therefore, this is something that I want to change in you. He speaks to us about him. He speaks to us about ourselves. And he also speaks to us about how we are to move through our days and years down here on our earth. How we are to be involved in the mission he's called us to. How we can be a worker in his kingdom. How we should be ministering to people. How we should be praying for people. He wants to guide us day by day. Little decisions and big decisions. But it's important that we realize that there's an order in which he speaks to us. Normally, he speaks to us first about who he is. Because if we don't know who he is, we're not going to really, these other things aren't going to make a lot of sense. And then based upon all that, he begins to start talking to us about ourselves. And then he begins to start talking to us about things that he wants to do. He is a speaking God. He wants to speak. And he wants to speak on a regular basis. So how does he speak to us? And these are, I know we've probably talked about a lot of these things before, but I think by introduction of things that we want to talk about in the next couple of weeks, I feel like it's important. First of all, he speaks to us through the scriptures. You know, who he is, his character, his attributes, his kingdom, his commandments, his principles. And this is the primary way in which we hear his voice. You know, it starts here. And then there's the rhema word of God. Actually, there's two words in Greek that speak of his word. One is logos, which means his word for us, which is his Bible. And then there's also another time he uses the word rhema. And this is a specific word that just for us, for a particular, it's one of those times when just something kind of jumps out of off the page. And all of a sudden we see it. And it's when he illuminates a passage or a verse or even a word. And it's usually something to do with something maybe we're going through. Let me kind of give a couple examples of just things that I feel like God's spoken to me this week. In James 1, we were talking about this in house church on, what was it, Thursday night. We were going through James, and we were talking about the wisdom of God. and how if any of us lacks wisdom, we need to ask of him. And, you know, the more I thought about it, I just thought, yeah, you know, all wisdom comes from God. He is wisdom. And I was just thinking about it. You know, just what the scripture said. It was the Logos, Word of God. And how if I really want to tap into that, in fact, he invites me to tap into his wisdom, the wisdom that made the earth. And what a beautiful privilege it is that all we have to do is to ask of him for wisdom, and he gives it. He gives it to us generously. Now that's, I feel like God was speaking to me about that passage. You know, now I've probably have read that, I know I've read that passage a lot of times, but I just saw God in a different way as I read through that and as we talked about it. Another time this week, I was reading through John 20 when Jesus had already resurrected, and all of a sudden he appears to the disciples. The doors are locked because the disciples are kind of scared, you know, because the whole, all of Jerusalem's talking about where is Jesus? Who took his body? All that. And so they've got the doors locked, probably double locked, triple locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the middle of them. And what's the first thing he says? Peace be unto you. And 8 days later, he finds them again, kind of comes in the middle of the room. And the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. And I was reading it. Actually, I was kind of reading it in French. And sometimes reading something in another language, it just kind of pops out at you. But I thought, the resurrected Jesus, he has the power to say peace to you, and his peace can come flooding into our lives, just like it did into the disciples. And it wasn't like I was feeling unpeaceful or anything like that, but I just felt like, yeah, as I go through this life, I can walk with the peace of God because he's saying, peace unto me. That's the power of his resurrection. And I felt like that was like a rhema word of God for me, you know. And God wants to speak to us all the time. Now, there's other ways he speaks to us. Hearing that voice speak to us, you know, that small, still voice. Of course, that has to be based upon Scripture, or at least can't contradict it. But God also wants to speak to us just concerning things that we're going through, something that's relevant for us in that particular day. In the last 24 hours, I was kind of praying for some of the people I've met in Israel, and there's one particular person I just felt like I needed to write a verse from Ephesians 6. You know, that there was something that was supposed to be an encouragement to this person. So I got my little, it was my iPad, and just kind of typed. It was just a quick paragraph, but I just felt like the Lord said to do that. I haven't heard anything back, but I trust that it's a word of encouragement. And God wants to speak to us about things like that. And I'm just kind of giving examples from this last week. You know, I mean, we can all think of times when God has spoken to us. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. He wants to be speaking to us regularly, continually, if we are listening to him. If we are listening to him. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us, impressing upon us something that he wants us to do or see or pray for or whatever. John 14, 15, 16, 17. Jesus is telling his disciples, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you alone. Because he is preparing them. Hey, listen, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to be inside of you. And the Holy Spirit wants to be speaking to you. Just as if Jesus was with us physically walking. He is through the Holy Spirit. And part of the reason is he wants to be speaking to us. There's Maybe another example. Last week, it was on Saturday. I pretty much had this message already prepared. And I just felt like on Saturday, nope, go share that tomorrow. And my first thought is, Lord, I don't have a whole lot of time to prepare for something else. But I just felt like he wanted me to kind of share a few things about the election, which I did. And just I just sat down and just started writing thoughts down. It just came just like that. And he wants to speak to us. And then there's other ways that he speaks to us as well. Sometimes through other people. Sometimes through observations. I think I shared with you once. I think it was in the Joy of Living, Giving, the Bible study we did on giving, how I can remember about, it's probably been 20 years ago or so, we were at our beach house, my parents' beach house at Gulf Shores, Alabama, and I was, because it seemed like God was doing a transition, you know, how are we going to make it? Because it seemed like God was doing a transition financially, and we had been, as a family, we'd been reading some of the stories of Jesus and how many times he did a miracle to kind of tell his disciples something. And I remember kind of going out to the beach one morning, and I think the rest of the family kind of came along too. And all my life, I've been going to Gulf Shores since I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I'd never seen a sand dollar by itself. You know, I'd seen them in the stores, but a sand dollar, just at least a whole one, on the beach. So that's kind of a little bit of the background. And I remember just going in the water, and there's like crunch, crunch, crunch. I thought, what is that? And I reached down, and I picked up, and it was a handful of sand dollars. And I thought, A sand dollar. There's not just one, but there's a whole bunch of them in my hand. And I remember the Lord was just saying almost immediately, you know what? When I get ready to provide for you, either for ministry or whatever, I can bring it in. And I realized, wait a minute. They're all over the place. And they were about this thick over, as far as we could walk out, but only in front of our house. Like, you know, you go walk down that way and go out in the water, there weren't any. If you go down this way, there weren't any. So we just, you know, I called the kids, and we just had buckets, and we were just picking up these sand dollars. And we found out, actually, that when you try to save them and they die, they start smelling. But anyway, I felt like God was saying something. He was doing an observation that God was showing me in something physical. It was God speaking. Just again, in the last few days, I was talking to someone, and they were talking about, they really have a heart to go to the nations. And as I was leaving and going back in my car, the Lord spoke to me through something about that conversation. This person does not have documents. We just say it that way. They're undocumented. They can't go to the nations. And I felt like the Lord said, Mike, you've been praying for immigration reform because it's the compassionate thing to do. And that's good. But I also felt like the Lord was saying, but there's another piece to this. This is a spiritual battle, because the kingdom of darkness does not want immigration reform to come, because he knows that there are going to be thousands of people across this nation that once they get documented, they'll be able to go to the nations. And I need to start praying in a different way. So that's an example of God speaking. And all of a sudden, I'm excited about that. And all of a sudden, when I kind of see all the political rhetoric going back and forth, I think, wait a minute. These are just puppets. You know, the real battle is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And we need to pray for this. So the point I want to kind of share this morning, basically, is that God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us in a lot of different ways. We have to be careful, of course. We don't want to just kind of take anything that kind of comes to our imagination. The classic example is and I think I've shared this too before, but there's sometimes singles, they kind of hear God saying, "Oh, that's the one that God has for me." And you know what? That happened to me and Judy. But we had a foundation of regularly hearing from the Lord. And I think I've shared this before, but there was one time, was it in this church, where I had a brother kind of come up to me and say, "Mike, God has spoken to me that this particular sister, I'm supposed to marry her." And my first thought was, "I think she's out of your league, bud," but I didn't say anything, you know. I said, "Well, I think you should just pray." I advised him not to talk to her about it, which he did not listen to me, but he did, you know. And then within 2 weeks, there are two other people, maybe it was 3 weeks, two other people came up to me and said, "Mike, I feel like God has spoken to me about who I'm supposed to marry." And it was the same person. So I thought, well, wait a minute. At least two of them and maybe three of them are wrong. And as it turns out, all three were wrong. But I think these were just immature people who really weren't listening to the Lord on a regular basis. They want to listen to what they want to hear, what they want to. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being men and women of God's Word, having Him speak to us about who He is, about things in our lives. And then eventually it will kind of go to other things. Because God does want to speak to us specifically about things. So as we grow and as we learn to listen to the Lord and as we learn to step out in faith, we begin to hear Him more clearly. And by the way, it's important that when we hear Him, that we obey Him. Because, and we'll probably talk about this in the next couple of weeks, that if we kind of say, "Well, yeah, Lord, why don't you talk to me about things I need to do and I'll decide whether or not I want to do it or not," then He stops speaking to us. But if we are really desiring to hear Him speak to us and obey, He will begin speaking. Again, usually it's about who He is. It starts with things maybe in us that we need to change. And then it goes to other things. But this is necessary for us to be a worker in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Okay. There we go. And I'm not so sure the Lord was speaking to us. Maybe... How could we? I don't know. We need to keep rolling for Him? No, I don't know. we must learn to listen to Him. And by doing so, we will become more effective workers. And also, if we want to begin to pray, like we've been talking about the last couple months, we have to, He speaks to us about how we can pray. Okay? So praying and is essential to being one of the workers that we've been talking about. And to pray, we've got to learn to listen. It's part of praying. Amen? Okay, so this is an introduction. We can kind of build upon this next week. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would show us how we can hear Your voice and listen to You in greater detail. Of course, Lord, we know a lot of that just means taking time. If we're so busy with life, we don't listen to You because we can't hear You. We're too busy. So, Lord, that's one thing. So, Lord, we just ask that You would develop inside of all of us a heart and a life that is always listening to You and responding accordingly. Lord, we want to be a people who hear Your voice. Do that with us here at Emmanuel Fellowship. And do this with the church around the world. Thank You, Lord. Amen.